We are live.
Awesome. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Heathen Hour. I, of course, am not Shannon. I am lovely, but not that lovely. So, Shannon, wherever you are, we hope that you're having a good evening and that I come close to being as awesome as you are. I will take your boobs, though, any day. We have Vadim Nuquist with us, fresh off of MythCon 2018. Vadim, how are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me on, man.
Absolutely. And Godless Cranium, of course, your hostess with the mostess.
Hey.
Did we
hey,
lose?
Everything's Godless? Good. Nope, I am here. Oh, I am okay, here. Good. Everything's fine.
All right, good.
That's a really awesome start.
I have a question for Godless Cranium. Do you, when you go out for Halloween, do you just go out like your normal every day to day?
Actually, I had a mask this year. I usually dress up for Halloween, actually. I have a skeleton mask. I'll have to post a picture of it on Twitter sometime.
Awesome. What about you, Vadim? Are you going trick-or-treating?
No. I'm probably going to spend the time just... Got a heavy work load that I've had recently, so...
That's good, yeah. Though.
Yeah, I don't know. I might I have a couple of friends that might be doing up to something, so we'll see. But probably going to be learning OBS and some other stuff I got to do.
Awesome. And why don't you take a second and let everybody know, if there is anyone watching that doesn't already know who you are, what you do, why you do it, and your who you work for, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Well, there is a a pernicious rumor that I happen to be creationist cat. That is a conspiracy theory. We've been seen in the same room together. I'm actually there's some people cast doubt on this, but I'm actually the humble human slave of Creationist Cat, which is a channel on YouTube that is mostly run by Creationist Cat, who is a talking superhumanly intelligent creationist, young Earth creationist cat, I do everything from edit his videos to clean his litter box. And the channel has a lot of religious content. You know, he himself, he's a true believer. I myself, I'm an atheist. It's a little hard to reconcile those two things, but somehow we make it work. And if you look in the back catalog, you'll see a lot of stuff that is relevant to atheism. I think that there's still content here and there that talks about issues having to do with that, but lately it's kind of gotten a little more, I think we discuss more kind of political figures and pop culture as well. So and I'm going to start making videos as myself with little CC appearances here and there. The next video that I'm working on, which is both a kind of a MythCon recap and also a response to Armored Skeptic's recent video about what I had to say at MythCon. That's going to be on the channel pretty soon. It's going to be kind of an epic video, one of the longer videos that we've had on the channel.
Do you want to give us a little sneak peek of that video? Like what it would be about? Without giving it all away, obviously.
I mean, I'll tell you two things that I discuss. Okay, one is at the top of when I was introduced, the MC gave fun facts about all of us. So the fun fact that he gave was when I was a teen, I kicked Sebastian Bach, the lead singer of Skid Row, in the head, and so you can look forward to hearing me tell that story in the video. But then aside from that, to be honest, and I'm not going to get too inside the video because there's a lot there, but I thought that Greg's video, and I have to kind of preface this by saying that I enjoyed meeting him at MythCon and I felt like we got along, but I felt like his video was not done in very good faith. I thought he either misunderstood or really manipulated a lot of my points, and so I am kind of just really coming back at him on what he had to say. And I don't know if it was, how much of it was just manipulating and how much of it was just kind of being dumb and not getting what I was saying.
Shots fired.
But you know, we could get into what I was actually saying there, but yeah, that's, I don't want to kind of oversell it. People will see it when they see it, but that's yeah, those are two things about the video that, and it's got lots of other stuff in it. You know, it's got like a little rundown of, I did have a good time there in spite of the fact that there, it was weird on multiple levels. I had a good time while I was there, which I wasn't sure if I was going to have a good time.
Why was it weird?
It's weird because for a whole number of reasons, you know, the whole event is very lopsided to the right, which is fine, you know, like the right can have their get-togethers and whatnot, but there, in my opinion, there is this sort of faux veneer that they like to, or I don't even know if they really look at it that way, the coordinators, in my opinion, and they would say that I'm like massively blue-pilled. So I would say that they are massively red-pilled and live in kind of this red-pilled bubble. And I think that they think that the event is far more kind of even-handed than it actually is. And to me, that's absolutely ridiculous because, you know, again, I don't want to make it sound like I had a problem with that, because to tell you the truth, like, okay, the panel, if anyone watches it, the video is on the Creationist Cat channel, by the way, for those who are curious. The panel, it was Jacqueline Glenn, Armored Skeptic, and also this guy David Smalley, and then the moderator. And even though I think Jacqueline can be far more left-wing than a lot of people who are at MythCon, basically on most of the things that I brought up, it really ended up being a four-on-one. It wasn't even just the three of them. It was also the moderator. The moderator wasn't as on my ass as they were, but he definitely was not moderate. And even Greg admits to that in his video. But then you have the crowd, and the crowd, it was hysterical because I felt like the bad guy at a wrestling match. You know, they were just shouting at me, and I wasn't the one who got it the worst. Really, the panel that got it the worst was the phone started. I did something to my phone that made me like get fucking Twitter updates, which right. So it made the like bloom noise. So I'm gonna turn it off because that's fucking right. Annoying. Hold that thought. So yeah, like basically it was really funny because these people were so just off their rockers and shouting and screaming during the intersectionality debate between Clay Rutledge, Roaming Millennial, and then on the intersectionality side there was Mike Rowlands and Chrisiosity, both who kicked ass. And they were just like, I mean, I was hearing people shouting like, you fucking whore, and you know, things like that. And then, oh my God, there was one guy who's sitting right next to us, my friend Buck and I, who was hysterical. He was so triggered the entire time. He was literally going,
oh man.
Because honestly, Clay and Roaming Millennial just got fucking owned. I thought Clay was going to come out like really hard from the beginning because he started with this whole thing like, well, you know, I work in academia and I work with actual statistics and blah 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 blah, and I was like, oh okay, this guy is going to like dazzle us with statistics and whatnot, and really that was that. Like he had hardly anything to say after that. But my point is that that, yeah, so I had all of this stuff, but in spite of that, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, really. Like, I actually enjoyed that aspect of all of it. I knew what I was getting into. It was a bit more of like an intense experience than I was even expecting. But I just kind of thought to myself, okay, just bring it on. Bring it on, motherfuckers. And I tried to, you know, get in as much as I could. It's difficult because we only had an hour. And, you know, I was definitely the, like, opposition to more than three people. And yeah, a lot of people who do not like me pointed out that I, you know, talked a lot during the whole thing. And of course I'm going to, because again, I'm like the opposition. I was constantly being, in my opinion, strawmanned, and I wasn't able even to get out as much as I probably should have. Like if you look at the supposedly the numbers, the guy who hosted it did like a tally of how long everyone talked, and I talked at about 11 and a half minutes, and then Greg was the second one at 8.5, David was about 8, and then Jacqueline was at around 6.5. And that sounds sort of like I got a lot, but it's like when you tally all three of those together and consider that they were all really on my ass, you know, I didn't feel like I got steamrolled because I stood up for myself, but, you know, it's like, yeah.
What was the biggest point that you guys disagreed with the most? Like, what was the most contentious?
Well, see, this is the thing, okay? I kind of came there because, I mean, I think I can boil down the two points that I was there to make somewhat succinctly. I was there to, and some of these things may sound very common sense to most people, but you have to factor in who I was talking to and the content creators that I was specifically saying this to as I was conveying these points. But basically, I was there to say, hey, everybody, look, you know, individually, if you're conservative, sure, you can be right about a whole number of things having to do with, you know, skepticism and yada yada. But when it comes to the U.S. political system, when it comes to how your vote is going to be implemented, it just honestly, I don't think that there's really any way around it. You know, even though that there are like some exceptions that we can talk about, by and large, like the left right now happens to be like the party that when it comes to policy, you know, like maybe there's some other aspects of the left that one can argue about that don't really affect policy that much, but really like that's the side that is more well represented for both atheists and skeptics. And that was the first thing that I was there to say. And then the second thing that I was there to say was basically a general message that there are a lot of people who are deemed skeptics in the skeptic community who I think who continue to drop the ball when it comes to these topics. You know, I think that a lot of people are choosing not to discuss the ways in which the Trump administration is pandering to evangelicals and how much like ground they're gaining and whatnot. And several years ago when I kind of bring this up at the top, I actually think that the skeptic/atheist community kind of became, it basically got on the map during the Bush administration. And I think that it did because there was a pressing need for it to be there. There was sort of a threat of religiosity just encroaching on our daily lives, our laws, our schools, and things like that. And it was really great to have this movement pop up because it helped kind of thwart those things. And it continued to do so somewhat in the Obama presidency. Not that Obama was going to be implementing things like that, but you had people on the state level doing, you know, trying to get, like for instance, creationism into schools and stuff like that. So I was just there to say, like, hey, this is kind of the deal. And the reason why I wanted to say it there is because I think that there's a great deal of content creators again, and I would, to a certain degree, put Armored Skeptic in there, who either kind of dance around that fact. They did, in my opinion, either like soft defenses of Trump, and I don't know. I really do think that kind of supporting that guy in the general election was a huge mistake. But what's done is done, and I would really like to see, because of the fact that I truly do think that this is like the way that we are best represented as both skeptics and atheists, because, you know, you get more religion, less like basically education, science, those sorts of things, the environment, all those things kind of suffer under conservative leadership in America. So I would like to see more people who are willing to kind of discussing these things, because there's a lot of people who I think have this false idea that like, you know, and I'm not saying that the Democrats are perfect. They're absolutely not. There's a lot, especially with like the mainstream Democrats, there's a lot that I don't like about them. But yeah, I'd like to see people kind of, you understand what I'm saying. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you made a point about how the atheist movement kind of popped up at a time that was convenient because it was opposing religious encroachment and government and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I was going to say that I think, just as a bit of a devil's advocate, that some of those content creators that you're talking about would also make the same case for, you know, I hate using the word, but SJWs or social justice or political correctness, that they kind of popped up to kind of fight
Well, we'll see. Okay.
I just wanted to add one more thing too. That a lot of those content creators, a lot of those content creators, like such as Jacqueline Glenn and Armored Skeptic, I'm pretty sure that they kind of identify as liberal or left leaning.
Well, I definitely think that Jacqueline is more liberal than leaning. I truly believe, even though that Armored Skeptic would say differently, I definitely think that the guy is a right-leaning centrist. I think that he has definite like certain tendencies, but if you look at the overall his overall output, and I'm not just talking about what he has to say about the SJWs. I mean, that's a term that I have a hard time taking seriously these days, because it's just like overused to the point of ridiculousness. But
yeah, we could just call it progressives if you want, because most of them call progressives.
Well, I mean, see, the thing is that I think that there is such a thing as SJWs, but it's mm-hmm. sort of like it's used as a catch-all term. It means so many different things to different people, mm-hmm. and to some
got a lot of baggage.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that SJWs in the like, if you're going, if it's going to have any sort of practicality to it, like a good, like I would describe people, and people aren't always like SJW, like they're not necessarily stuck in being SJW, but there are times where people act like SJWs, and then there are some people who genuinely are like that. And I think that those are people who are very ostentatious about the way that they go about things. Sometimes they often don't come equipped with facts, and they'll often do things that shoot their what I think is usually worthwhile endeavors in the foot by kind of acting in either just an obnoxious way or like for instance, you know, I think an example would be, and not to throw her under the bus, but there was a person at MythCon who was arguing with some black guy. That's his YouTube name. actually, a funny thing is that the evening before I was talking with her, she did not know his YouTube name, and we were at this pre-party, and we were on this line like getting food, and I said, "Oh, so you're going to be talking with some black guy?" And she was like, "Excuse me?" She didn't know that his name was that, and I could see how she would find that weird. but anyhow, my point is that she was actually one of the two women who interrupted the Bernie speech and got. Do you guys remember this? It was during the before the candidates were finalized, and like for instance, like that, I broadly support BLM in terms of their goals. Like there's certain things that maybe that I it really depends on kind of who, because it's such a disparate movement. But something like that, I could say like, okay, that's like something that like an SJW would do, but people use it as a term just to you know, as a catch-all phrase for anyone who is like vaguely progressive, anyone who's like to the left of them, anyone who vaguely believes in social justice. And I would say that I do believe in social justice. I think that there's further for humanity to go, but
here's the way that I see the social justice movement now is that the loud few people that seem to, like you just said, they interrupt the rally at Bernie. They're causing the sort of issues that is responsible for that baggage term, the things that people do. So what winds up happening is, mm-hmm. although there are real issues that people should be working towards, it undermines that actual that goal, because people focus more on the ridiculous things that people, like, for example, the costumes thing that has been in the news with The Handmaid's Tale.
Well, I agree 100% that there are these occurrences that happen that do kind of capture people's attention and mm-hmm. And derail to a certain degree the like worthwhile work that they're doing. It mm-hmm. it makes it much harder for people to take the whole movement seriously. However, I would not place all of the blame. I mean, certainly I would blame people when they do those things. I would say like either, okay, that was a stupid thing for that person to do, or sure. I might simultaneously say, and that doesn't speak for me personally.
Sure.
But I think also you have to keep in mind that there is like this apparatus. And when I say apparatus, it almost sounds conspiratorial, but it's not. There's a great deal of good that multiple parties get out of focusing on these occurrences. And when you have these days, everybody has cell phones, technology is so ubiquitous that, you're going to get some like dumbass or just some young kid from a college who is probably not what he's going, who he's going to be a few years from now. You're going to capture that guy on, or that girl on, or that non-binary folk on camera is saying something, doing something silly. This whole group of people who make a good deal of money off of kind of these people will make it seem like this is the movement. This is what they are about.
Right.
And meanwhile, you've got all of these, you've got ContraPoints, you've got H Bomber Guy, you've got Three Arrows, you've got I could go on and on. Sean, there's, some people throw me in there from time to time, and I'm pleased when they do, because I think those are excellent YouTubers. Of course, my material is usually like more comedy based than theirs, so maybe I don't know I will be doing some more serious stuff in the future, but you get what I'm saying. That my point is that there is a huge volume of people that is very separate from that I think is more representative of kind of the worthwhile goals of and I you know like there are certain things that some from time to time that will get like perpetuated by people who are called SJWs, you know, like for instance the when it comes to the wage gap actually is a thing. A lot of people like to say that it's non-existent, but at the same time, it's nowhere near as bad as some people say it is. Some people will say it's up to like 77 or 75 cents to the dollar. And if you really look at it, it's far less than that. There are practical things that we could probably do to, I won't go that far into it, but that's like one thing that like, if somebody is actually like saying like, you know, the wage gap is so bad at 77 cents and, you know, like try and portray it, like the overwhelming majority of women are paid that much, then that's going to be a time where I say, well, where I'm there and I'm like, okay, let's call bullshit. And the last thing I want to say is that I'm all for there was this whole, I think, fallacious thing that started, and it really started around the time that Armored Skeptic brought up this point, which is not true. He said that I slandered him on Twitter by calling him right wing, or that I slandered him as right wing, or so something like that. And I did a pretty prolific search, several searches, couldn't find one tweet that really, I described him as center-right once, and I believe that, but I never slandered the fucking guy. And from that point on, there was a lot of ill will towards me, and people kind of took my arguments as meaning two things. It meant all conservatives equals bad. My mom voted for Trump. You know, I recognize that people can be good and vote Trump. People, you know, like can also have conservative leanings and be genuinely skeptical on a lot of things. But there was that, and then there was also the idea that I like do not. I'm incapable of criticizing the left, and there are lots of YouTubers who I love who do. Kyle Kalinske, David Pakman, a lot of left-wing pundits that I listen to will hold both like the mainstream Dems, hold their feet to the fire, and they'll also talk about how shitty it can be when the folks that you mentioned earlier, Kyle, that get the press with like, you know, just by doing stupid shit. Mm-hmm. How that can like just make us look bad, and then
they're louder, you know, they make more noise.
And there are some like I firmly believe that I think it's pretty obvious that in terms of like the whole, like if you take both the mainstream media and also media on YouTube, by and large the you know, there's way more like, you know, you don't have really an Alex Jones on the left. Some people like to say it's Cenk Uygur, and I think that is fucking ridiculous. Like, there's just a chasm between those two people. But, like, I'd say one of the worst is Jimmy Dore. There was a time when I kind of had an appreciation of him, and he's, I think, continued to get worse and worse, and he makes the left look bad, in my opinion. You know, like both Sam Cedar and David Pakman refer to him and others like him as the dumb, dumb left. And I would agree with that assessment.
Do you think that TYT is good for the left?
I do. I mean, like it's a mixed bag because there are certain things that I've heard them say and do that, you know, like it's really difficult when someone is literally taking on basically every single major topic in the world, like they're probably going to fuck some stuff up. And I really wish more than anything, I really wish that they had some science people like doing fact checking, because for instance, they have majorly fucked up issues having to do with nuclear energy. There's like a kind of a persistent there is a like a lie that is perpetuated that stuff is really toxic and shitty, and of course if you jump into a nuclear reactor you're gonna get like probably get cancer, but it's genuine, it's generally safe. And then there's also GMOs. They talk about GMOs and like glyphosate. I don't know if you know what the fuck that is. And they really get those issues wrong. There are other things that are matters of opinion that you could say they get wrong. And okay, I guess if we're really going through a lot of things, I think that although I don't think he did as much as some people think, he did misrepresent to a certain degree Sam Harris. And so there's shit like that. But overall, I think that they're good because, well, for one, they spearheaded Justice Democrats, which is a really excellent endeavor that Cenk is trying to get.
Cenk should just stay away. Cenk should just stay away from Sam Harris. He looked ridiculous in that interview. I actually watched that one.
Yeah, a lot of people thought so. I thought he actually had some good points, but then Cenk was coming in, I think, with a preconceived notion that Sam had some beliefs that he doesn't. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I'm not a huge Harris fan these days, and I do think that some of the things, some of what Cenk was getting at, he might be a little guilty for. A lot of people love that guy, so you know, I know throwing that out there is going to get some barbs thrown my way, but that's how I feel about the dude. I mean, I'm also like his defense of Murray, and then how he treated that whole kind of discussion that he had with the guy from, what was it, Vox or the Daily Beast? I forget. That I was not crazy about that, but just to finish up real quickly, I'm sorry, I'm really going on a tangent here. Two things that they did is that they were they really, if not for them, I do not think that Bernie would have ascended to the place he did. They really helped him out. And they also have this thing called Wolfpack, which is an endeavor to get money out of politics. And I think that that's one of the things that is fucking up our political system the most.
I would think that would be a bipartisan issue. Like, I don't know why Americans don't want to get it out of their political system. By the way, Chad just said it's Ezra Klein. That's who you were reaching for
there. Yes. Ezra Klein. And I'm not even saying that dude, like, I have problems with that dude, but mostly because he's more neoliberal than I think he likes to, say that he is. But I felt like he fucking owned Sam on that topic. And it is really weird. I don't think that Sam totally understands the issue as well as he thinks he does. And I'm not saying that I'm an expert on it, but I do like TYT. I know a lot of people hate them, but I think that they do a lot of worthwhile things. And so, you know,
One of the main criticisms I hear of TYT is that I don't watch TYT. I have seen a couple of their episodes, but they usually get criticized for either race baiting or, like you've already mentioned, they often get their facts wrong. And also, I don't know, they also get for Islam apologist kind of content as well. Like they kind of excuse.
I really don't think that they are Islam apologists. I know I've seen several videos accusing them of being just that. I've seen Cenk talk about how disgusting a religion it can be. I think he's very, he's very cautious not to make certain you know, what's the word? Certain criticisms that can come off as though he is criticizing all of the people and all like I don't want to say the entire religion, but yeah, I
overgeneralizing.
Some people think that the term Islamophobic is a bullshit term. And I kind of think that that's word policing. Like I sort of understand the idea behind why that would be an objectionable term, but we all know what that means. You know, I think that some people like to
I'm one of those people. I don't like that word, yeah. To be honest. I think yeah. that we already have roots for words for I don't know, just say somebody was criticizing Islam and they were doing it for racist reasons, just say hypothetically. We'd already call that mouthful, yeah, we would just call that racist.
What is a word for it's just like when you say homophobia, it's it's like people aren't necessarily scared that they're going to be, well, maybe some of them are, but a lot of those people aren't scared that they're going to be forcibly tied down and raped. And what, God, what a horrible thing to say, I have a problem with it. And
but homophobia is for, if you're saying you're phobic, that means you're afraid of something, right? So if you're phobic over gay people, there's no basis in reality for that fear. I mean, you could come up with, like you said, manufacture reasons, right? That, you know, they're going to come.
Right.
But there is a real reason to fear Islam. I mean,
there's also no real reason
irrationally
to fear.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So there is a rational reason to be afraid of jihadism and mm-hmm. radical Islamism. That's certainly. I have criticized that myself plenty on the channel, but then there are people who genuinely do kind of just throw them all into one basket, or they use terminology that really makes it sound that way, and it ends up being, I think, very unproductive criticism. And that is, when you are saying things that basically seem to demonize all of Islam, all Muslims, that is, then that's not rational. Just like it's not rational to demonize every single Christian that's out there. You know, I mean, like, yeah, I wish that these religions were not part of our lives. I wish that even the most moderate Muslims were not Muslims, and the most moderate Christians were not Christian. That would be fantastic, but they are, and I don't fear those moderates that much.
Well, there's something I think to be said, though, to strike an obvious difference between the two. If you are a Christian, I always go back to the thing that happened with the Danish newspaper, that huge fiasco where they were going to run that newspaper article with a drawing of Muhammad, and it turned into a huge national deal because people were in fear for their life. They thought they were going to actually get killed, so they didn't wind up running this newspaper. With the Christian aspect of it, nobody is afraid to run a picture of Jesus in a newspaper, so I think that some of those fears are rationally held because you do have a higher chance of happening.
Okay, I understand that, but how about this? Okay, we have now Gorsuch and Kavanaugh in the Supreme Court, and I think it's pretty much inevitable. I'm not saying that they are going to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's probably not what they're going to do, but they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to make it hand it over to the states, or they're going to chip away. They're going to allow roughhousing going on now. They're going to make it so it's virtually impossible in some states. They're going to allow them to enforce laws that they have on the books that will basically it's basically like it being illegal there. Mm-hmm. So literally, as a result of this, probably hundreds to thousands of women over the course of the time, unless that does not occur which I truly think it will, lots of women are going to die. Women are going to die giving themselves botched abortions. Also, women are going to be rushed to the hospital who nearly will die. And then they're going to be on trial for murder. And that is just the most regressive fucking thing that I can think of.
Agreed.
These reproductive rights should really be enshrined by the Constitution, in my opinion. And so, that is probably going to do more damage over time to America. I mean, certainly abroad in Middle Eastern countries, it's a different, you know, where it's apples and oranges. But here, the amount of the amount of negativity or just death that we're seeing as a result of having Islam here within our midst to any degree, it's really Christians that, and there are other things that I can point to as well that maybe are not as bad as the deaths that will occur as a result of abortion, but you know, I mean, like they're erasing that they want to what's the thing with trans people that they want to do right now? They basically want to legally make it so that like trans is not a like an identity anymore, and I don't know. There's probably several other things that are not occurring to me that I could point to, but I think that in America, Christianity is the driving force, and then also they have a stranglehold on a very disingenuous stranglehold on the conservative base, and you know the overwhelming majority of his voters were evangelicals or evangelicals and fundamentalists. They came out percentage wise in larger numbers than they came out for Reagan, for George Bush or George Bush Senior. And I'm not talking about in terms of numbers. I'm talking about in terms of the percentage of overall voters. Mm. So it's like, yeah, that's how I look at it.
I totally see where you're coming from with the Roe v. Wade thing. But I think that is something that we're assuming will happen, and it hasn't happened yet. I think with a lot of what we, you know, people would generalize as Islamophobia is a reaction to not want that to infiltrate and take hold and spread throughout this country. Because if it does, I think that that is a negative. We could both agree that's a negative. That has negative impacts on society. So I don't think it's so much that they are, you know, there's a hatred there. It's a resistance towards those ideas taking a foothold in the country and really, you know, diving in and spreading.
Sure, but it's the overwhelming majority. I mean, like really just what do you think is going to make to radicalize them more, kind of treating them like we do basic citizens or prohibiting them from entering the country?
I don't know. I mean, when you have people who are willing to kill themselves to kill you, I don't know how much more radicalized they can get.
They are refusing to get to have scientists, to have doctors, to have people who have, you know, been in the United States for a very long time and just
no, I don't agree with that. Absolutely not. You shouldn't discriminate against anybody. But yeah. I think what winds up happening is that we lump everything together in as Islamophobia, when some of those instances are just people resistant to that religion taking a foothold in the country.
Yeah, I just don't think it's really going to, because one, we actually in spite of what people think, you know, like people like Trump has done a great job making people believe this bullshit that we have one of the toughest vetting systems in the world when it comes to the people that we let into this country. you know, it is not easy, and it's a very time consuming process. And so, you know, we vet these people. Most of the people who have committed crimes in the name of Islam in America have been people who have been here for a while, who got radicalized through other means. And yes, it absolutely is. Like I'm not saying that these things should not be discussed. I'm not saying that these things should not be criticized. I'm not saying that there should not be a certain pressure put on those forces that do exist, you know, within America. But yet at the same time, there is a hysteria over it. There's more kind of just hysteria over it than I think the actual situation merits.
Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off, but we just had a... Yes. My dog's gonna bark now. Of course he is. We had a super chat from Zero who asked... he's asking you a question, Vadim. He says, as an anti-theist, I think Islam is a horrible ideology. Same for basically every faith-based position that includes value judgment.
Sure.
I don't hate Muslims. Yeah. What's the distinction between that and Islamophobia?
I mean, again, sometimes it can be very very apparent, and then sometimes it can be more subtle. I think that again, when you make statements that can be construed easily as applying to all Islamists or all Muslims, I should say rather, then that definitely at that point becomes Islamophobic, because you're demonizing the entire whole thing. And you know, like, it's like, I fucking hate the religion. It's an abhorrent religion, and so is Christianity. And I truly do wish that these religions were not thing, you know, forces within our society that we had to deal with. But just like I think that there are plenty of Christians who are not a threat to our society, that are not trying to cram their religion down our throat and to are basically good people, especially in America, that's the majority of Muslims out there. You know, like a lot of people like to think that the majority, I mean, like if you look at statistics in America, Muslims are actually more accepting of gays. It's a surprising statistic, but, you know, in a few polls,
I would love to see that poll, actually.
They're more progressive on things like gay marriage and whatnot than Christians are. So, I'm not painting the whole, like, everyone in America who's a Muslim to be an angel. That's, I'm sure that there's some assholes, and, you know, there's also, like, you know, some there are,
do you think there's a difference though between North American Muslims and Middle Eastern Muslims? Like, they're regards to their attitudes towards gay people.
But by and large, the Muslims that you have in America are far better because of the influence that they have, the Western influence that they have here, and they've become acclimated to it. There's a lot of people who say that Muslims are incapable of kind of integrating with our society. But yet, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I mean, I don't live in New York right now, but I consider myself a New Yorker. I lived there most of my life. And I had lots of friends who were Muslims, or, you know, they identified as Muslim. I don't really think that they practiced very much, but they were just like regular bros or regular girls, you know, like they'd like smoke bong hits and drink with us. And
they were Muslim then,
you know, yeah. But they still considered themselves Muslims. So, yeah. You know, and then at the same time, there were also, there were certainly a lot of people who walked around in not, I get them mixed up between hijab and I'm not talking about the full, you know, full
burka.
Covering, yeah. Whatever, you know, the headscarf and burka. Whatnot. There's a decent amount of people wearing that who are also very chill and down to earth. And like, you know, they weren't homophobic. They weren't, you know, and I'm sure that there are some Middle Eastern communities in America where they're, you know, where they're not as lax and they are more sexist and they are doing things that are not, you know, that I think are very antithetical to the values that I would, but then the same thing, you know, you also have this in certain Christian communities, you have this in Mormon communities, big time.
I'm actually glad you said that. Can I ask you a question real quick? I want to play devil's advocate for just a second because you said something earlier and then somebody in the chat a second ago kind of echoed the same point that they are barring certain like Muslim scientists from coming in, you know, to conferences and stuff like that. Let me just ask this. And this is just me being a little bit facetious and a little bit of a devil's advocate, but would we have an issue if they barred a young earth creation believing scientist from coming into a science conference? Would that be an issue?
Well, first of all, I would have a problem with that because that's like,
well,
that,
really though.
But this is the thing. These are actual doctors who have real, like it's, they're going to say that they're real scientists. Hold on, this dude wants out.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I have no clue what kind of, you know, what field they're in. This is just me asking a general.
Yeah, I think it's apples and oranges because the thing is that we do have like real standards when it comes to science. Like we're not, unless you're like a young earth creationist, you're not going to really take someone seriously who says that, you know, the earth is 6,000 years old. You're like if Ken Ham was at like a, like, I don't know what the, there's probably some sort of association of biologists. And let's say that, like, you know, Ken Ham was speaking at some sort of get together with Richard Dawkins and P.Z. Myers and whatnot. Although I know those two don't really get along very well these days. Let's just say that, I mean, that we would, everyone there would find that ridiculous. Right. Whereas this doctor isn't some sort of like, you know, he's not a,
he just, you believes know, that a horse cleaved the moon in half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't, is that in the,
yes.
That's in
okay.
The
yeah. Okay. See there, but the thing is that there are doctors who are also, who are creationists. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Fortunately, creationism does not, I mean, it might make them reluctant to want to do things like abortions and stuff, but, generally,
yeah,
but,
a little bit,
just a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But generally they can perform their doctoral duties while being, you know, while having those beliefs. So
sure,
I don't,
yeah. Yeah. Like I said, it was a facetious question, and it's yeah. I have no, I don't know what their fields are in, but I'm just saying, I'm making the point that if me personally, I would be okay with a scientist who was a young earth creationist not being a part of a science conference. You know, to me, that's a win.
Yeah. By the way, yeah. I found that poll you were talking about, Vadim. So it says Muslims by a margin of 51% to 34% favor same-sex marriage compared to just 4 years ago when a majority, 51%, were opposed. So 58% of white evangelical Christians and 53% of Mormons are opposed to allowing gay couples to marry. And actually the worst is Jehovah's Witnesses, 36%. Wow. Yeah, Jehovah's Witnesses are actually the worst. I think it's 63%. So yeah. So actually, you're right about the Muslims.
That's
in
shocking,
North
actually. I'm surprised by that.
I wouldn't have guessed that either.
See, I think it does make sense, though, because I think that I could be wrong. I mean, the way that I kind of look at it
But I just wanted to say, though, like, that's just white evangelical Christians. So Christians overall are still more accepting of gay marriage than Muslims. So just want to point out.
Okay. All right. I mean, I believe you, yet I'm not 100% sure that we're talking about the same poll. But I do believe you on that.
Yeah. There was two, and this one's from like, this year. So like 2005-18.
Okay.
Is when this was published. So
just quickly, I'll say that I think in a way, the way that it makes sense is that, you know, the Muslims in general, they know more than a lot of groups what it's like to be in this day and age, like just demonized. So maybe some of them have a sympathy that they wouldn't otherwise if they didn't kind of experience that themselves. And I don't know. I'm really just speculating here, but that might account for some of the reasons why they are as accepting as they are.
It's got to be a U.S. based, though, right? That can't be global.
No, it's not global.
Yeah,
it's
that's U.S. Yeah, U.S. Muslims, not not even North Americans.
And that makes sense because they're integrating with the culture. You know, nobody's going to try to rock the boat, you know, too much. If that was they would all obviously be a bigger target than they are now if they were opposing everything that the country was moving towards. You know, that would just make them a bigger target. So in a way, they're kind of forced to be more tolerant, I think, or they're conditioned to be more tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if that would count in a poll, because if you're in a poll, it would be confidential, right? So it wouldn't matter. They would just, you would think that they would just say what they, you know, like just say, like, if you're embarrassed to say that you voted for Trump, if you're being polled, you would just admit it, possibly. Well, maybe, right?
But I still think you would go into that poll knowing that the results are going to come out and could have negative implications for your, you know, your culture. So you might want to make it look even better than it actually is, so that when this poll comes out, oh, look, they are more accepting than we thought that they were, you know, paint them in a better light.
Well, the level's getting better, though. So I would think that it's probably like maybe a generational thing. Like maybe like the people that came here, perhaps weren't as accepting, and then over time, as you're, you know, integrated into that society, and this society's more accepting, then it would make sense that you would start seeing more of that kind of view in the population. Sure. I'm guessing that.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so I put the link there, so if anybody wants to, in the chat, wants to check it out, they can, or you, Vadim. We're already up to an hour. I didn't.
Good talk.
Yeah, so we'll have to have you on again, because there's a bunch of topics I wanted to touch on that we didn't get to touch on. But
well, if you want to go overtime a little bit, I'm still up for a few more questions.
Well. The main thing I wanted to talk about, we were talking about it a little bit before the show, was about YouTube in general, and how I know, like, The Amazing Atheist just put out a video about how YouTubers are generally like to create drama. And yeah, I don't know if you saw it, Kyle. It was actually pretty good. I actually liked it. And about how they had like to start drama and stuff like that. And we were talking a little bit before the show about how you've been around YouTube a long time, or quite a long time, and have garnered some enemies of other YouTubers.
Well, sure. Yeah, definitely. Well, first of all, YouTube has changed a great deal. Like when I first came on, the whole, like, if sometimes I like to have a chuckle. I look at the comments, not just on my early videos, but the videos of other contemporaries that were around at the time. And it's like, it was so tame. It was like the fucking 1950s. And, you know, it was just, people were so much nicer. And I don't necessarily need people to be nice. Like, you know, I don't mind people kind of being acerbic or just really telling you how it is. But like a page really turned somewhere, I think, around 2013, 2014. I mean, things got much more contentious with the, you know, with Gamergate and whatnot. And as feminism and the dreaded SJWs became a hot topic, And yeah, you know, I started, like, I was a very well-liked channel. I was told by a lot of people, like, you know, you're one of the most, I mean, this is before I was even, I Vadim was out of the proverbial YouTube closet. But yeah, I basically, there was a YouTuber who shall remain unnamed, but looks like Nosferatu with cancer, who they basically brought to class for some shit.
I wonder who that could be.
Yeah. Who knows? but yeah, that really started. I mean, that sort of kick-started things. He had a definite you know, fan base who just immediately thought I was an asshole. And over the course of time, I personally have been dissatisfied with both the, like, level of supposed skepticism that certain people who are thought of as being skeptics, I have to use the air quotes because I don't think they're very skeptical, have actually been. And I have started discussing those people to varying degrees. And I've also talked about other people that certain people have, like, boners for, like David Rubin and Jordan Peterson and stuff like that. And that will definitely get you some hate. So, you know, I've come to kind of accept it, and it's a whole part of the game. But you know, like, I personally, there are a lot, the last thing I'll say is there are a lot of people who kind of look at my channel as, like, when I bring these things up, like, oh, he's got a drama channel and blah blah. It's always drama when it's something that you disagree with. When like a YouTuber that someone who calls me a drama whore, if they're watching a channel that they like, they're going to call, you know, that YouTuber the same thing that I'm doing, they're going to call that criticism, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's a double standard, and things have really swung to the right, I think, far more than people realize. And yeah, that's just, you know, if you're going to really be real, if you're going to be like someone who really is real about your politics and your left wing on YouTube, you're going to get hate. I mean, you're going to get hate no matter what. But certainly if you've done that.
Would you say skeptic is a word that also has come with, started to bring a lot of baggage with it too?
Oh yeah, it's unfortunately, it really pains me to say, because I think that skepticism has the potential to, like, if people do it properly, I think it has a potential to really, like, help people in general, just really kind of basically lift the veil and really just basically make people smarter about shit. But it's
new skeptics.
It has a toxicity to it. I mean, honestly, a lot of the people on YouTube who I think embody skepticism the best, this doesn't go for everyone, but a lot of the people who I think embody the skepticism the best won't even call themselves skeptics, because they just hate, like, you know, they identify, they know that others identify the term of that. And are you guys familiar at all with a YouTuber, amazing YouTuber named Captain Disillusion?
Yeah, I am.
Not me.
Yeah, he's a YouTuber who he has several hundred thousand subscribers, and he's not really thought of when people think of skeptics, but he's definitely a skeptic. What he does is that he takes these, he has these hilarious, very well crafted, high production value videos where he takes usually takes video like hoaxes, and he breaks down, because he's a special effects artist, and he breaks down exactly how they achieved these hoaxes. And he's had the amazing James Randi in an episode, who in my opinion is, like, one of, like, the greatest all-time skeptics.
Sure.
And the reason why I'm bringing him up is that he did this live show in Australia where he talked about his whole kind of journey online and also his relation to the term skeptic. And he talks about how, like, at a certain point, he realized that people were judging him because he, like, they, you know, he had the skeptic term, mm-hmm. and he realized how toxic the whole community became. And he has this really hysterical bit where he's talking about something like the YouTube skeptic asshole void or something like that. And he has this, like, whirlwind graphic because he was doing a live presentation, but he had all of these, like, computer graphics as projected behind him as he was doing it, and you can see people like Sargon of Akkad, like their faces, and I think maybe Thunderfoot, who I think is marginally better than definitely better than Sargon of Akkad. They also had Armored Skeptic, and they're all, like, getting, like, just like they're circling into the skeptic asshole void, and he's like, no, I don't want to become a skeptic asshole. And yeah, you know, we have this problem for various reasons.
How did I miss this episode? Because it sounds hilarious.
What's that? Yeah, oh, it's amazing. It's a live talk that he did for, I think, Australian skeptics. And if you just look up Captain Disillusion Australia or something, you should be able to find it. And it's a really wonderful talk. It's very different than most of his videos because it's him. It's not the character that he usually playing it. But I think that sheds some good light on kind of how the whole scene has gone downhill. And, you know, that guy is not a, like, he's not an SJW. He's not somebody who is very super active politically. So I think he's a good person to kind of, like, if anybody is like, not really sure what Vadim was talking about with this whole skeptics becoming assholes thing, watch that. Maybe it'll give you some food.
Do you think the word will ever get redeemed? Do you think that there'll be a new crop?
I sure hope so. I mean, like, it seriously saddens me that it's kind of gone down the toilet because, you know, skepticism made me a better person. Like, I when I came to the atheist/skeptic community, I actually came there because I was looking to debunk 9/11 claims. Okay, this is like around 2005, maybe 2004, and I started seeing all of these, like, you know, 9/11 claims. I knew they were garbage, and people were like, "You have to see Loose Change. It's so fucked up, man." And I watched it, I was like, "This is garbage." But I wasn't equipped with the, like, you know, the facts to debunk it. So I went on YouTube. It was in the first few years of YouTube being around, and I'm sure you guys are familiar with what is that show called? The Atheist Experience, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So they had a special episode on 9/11 conspiracy theories. And not only did they, a few things happened, okay? Three big things happened. One is they gave me plenty of great ways to debunk these stupid-ass conspiracy theories. But then I started binge-watching them. And I was never a Christian, but I had all these, like, new agey beliefs. Like, I believed in reincarnation. I probably believed in ghosts. Like I just, I don't know. I can't, at one point I believed those things and started stopped believing things over time, but there was a bunch of things that I believed. Oh, and also I was very into organic foods, which are bullshit. I would do things. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Master Cleanse, but it's this thing that you should never do where you basically drink.
Horrible.
You drink lemon water and cayenne pepper and grade B maple syrup.
Try cabbage and salt?
No, that I've heard that one, but this one I did that for like over 2 weeks one time, and I was convinced that it was good for me.
Was it Canadian maple syrup though? That's That's key.
I don't know.
Or turpentine. Maybe that makes the difference.
It's grade B. I don't know if Canadian it really matters. But basically, like, I started binge watching the show, and literally in a matter of days, I was just like, well, I went to this show to debunk 9/11 conspiracy theories, and now I realize there's probably no God. Because, you know, I watched several episodes, and they hit all these different topics. They were talking about things other than the Christian God. And I was just like, you know what? I don't have any good evidence for this. And that's all it took for me in order to just, like, you know, I not everybody, I think, can do a reversal like that, but I did. And then the last thing is that they introduced in that episode, that 9/11 episode, the whole concept of peer review, which I had never heard of, even though that I went to a decent school. Like, I didn't take much science classes, but I didn't know much about it. And, you know, peer review, it's not infallible, but it's a good way to kind of help determine if some, you know, certain claims are true or not, if there are, like, valid studies and yada, yada, yada. And that really made me just kind of not just look at my atheism, but made me look at every facet of my life through that lens. And I very soon realized, holy shit, like, the way I've been eating, these stupid fucking diets that I've been doing, this is horrible, you know? So the reason why I bring all that up is that I think that if people apply skepticism to their lives, there's all these different ways that like, you know, falsehoods can manifest within your life that can be detrimental to you. So skepticism is overall a very good thing if it's done right. If it doesn't, like, you know, if it doesn't kind of get like a makeover, like if it doesn't resuscitate itself from its current state, then I hope another movement comes along.
I have it.
It's basically the same thing.
I have it. We'll call ourselves doubtists.
All right. Okay. We can talk about that after the show.
I like it.
There you go. That's going to be the name of your new podcast, Vadim, the doubtists.
I like your vest, and you're looking sharp.
Thanks, man.
So that's nice tie too.
I came dressed for Creationist Cat, and I have yet to be.
Yeah, CC is in another room. It's close to Sunday, so, you know, he's in prayer. He's you know, in prayer mode. He's probably speaking in tongues right now, alone, just
or hairballs.
coughing up hairballs that you know, that are the spitting image of the Virgin Mary.
Love it.
Perfect. Well, I think we'll wrap it up here, but thank you for joining us. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Kyle, for subbing. And
yeah, thank God you, Kyle. Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate the conversation. Thanks to everyone out there. I'll just say, you know, you can find Creationist Cat pretty easily on YouTube. And if you want to follow both CC, it's at Creationist Cat. And then my name is Vadim Newquist, and you can find me on Twitter as well. And if you have no clue how to spell that, you can probably just find some of my tweets on the Creationist Cat Twitter.
Perfect.
Vadim Newquist this month.
Yeah,
oh, yes, Vadim, it is Vadim Newquist. But the ad handle is Vadim Newquist.
Right. Absolutely. Perfect. All right. Have a good night, guys.
Later.